good to see you. Are you ready for the World Cup final? Happening this afternoon, Croatia against France. Some of you have money on the game. I hope not, but you might. Gambling's not good. We're going to preach against betting and things like that at some point. But this is a big weekend. It's a big weekend for a number of reasons. Not just the World Cup, but for me at a personal level, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, I made a 24-hour trip back to Zimbabwe to help out at a conference they were holding, Unseen Pursuit, with some churches in that nation. And God is at work in the churches there. God is at work in the nation of Zimbabwe, just like he's at work in the nation of Kenya and every nation. And it worked out funny because I had to go for that 24 hours. But we also wanted to have a guest come into Nairobi for that same 24-hour period. And we're a part of a family of churches called Advance. Advance is part of a bigger family of churches called New Frontiers. And actually, one of the songs we sung this morning, In Christ Alone, was written by a New Frontiers worship leader. His name is Stuart Townend. And as part of this family of churches, he relates to Advance and New Frontiers, as well as the churches in the city, churches around Kenya. But we got one of the Advance leadership team, one of the leaders of our network of churches, to come in for just 24 hours. And he was able to give some input into some, not all, but some of our leaders. And that was a fantastic time. Just so you know that while you're going to Carrefour and playing golf and things like that, God is building his church in different ways. He's building it through mums who are changing diapers, through businessmen closing big deals, and through raising up and training leaders and people going from the nations to the nations. And we want to be a church that sends people to the nations. One tribe, a church from every tribe, for every tribe. And it's also a big weekend because this week we are also finishing our Song of Songs series. And in a moment, One Tribe, I'd love you to give yourselves a hand because you've done really, really well. We've been going 18 months. We have worked through, amongst other series, two books of the Bible, verse by verse, from start through to finish. Over the last 10 weeks, or 9 weeks, and this is the 10th, you've listened to, by the end of this morning, you've listened to 10 sermons, verse by verse, through the book, The Song of Songs. You have studied it, you have listened to it in the Message translation, you have studied it in the NIV translation. We've had 5 Q&A sessions, stuff happening with the youth as well, and produced an audio book of The Song of Songs to boot. Give yourselves a hand. I think you've done just a fantastic, fantastic experiment and exploration. And now we find ourselves in the closing verses. And what we're going to do is we're going to listen to the last audio installment of the Message paraphrase of the Song of Songs. And then I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get straight to work. Let's listen.
Little sister has no breasts. What shall we do with our little sister? When men come asking for her, she's a virgin and vulnerable, and we'll protect her. If they think she's a wall, we'll top it with barbed wire. If they think she's a door, we'll barricade it.
Dear brothers, I'm a walled-in virgin still, but my breasts are full. And when my lover sees me, he knows he'll soon be satisfied. King Solomon may have vast vineyards in lush, fertile country, where he hires others to work the ground. People pay anything to get in on that bounty. But my vineyard is all mine, and I'm keeping it to myself. You can have your vast vineyard, Solomon, you and your greedy guests.
O Lady of the Gardens, my friends are with me listening. Let me hear your voice.
Run to me, dear lover. Come like a gazelle. Leap like a wild stag. on the Spice Mountains.
Said, amen. Great. One person's name is Tom Gledhill, I think. He said that at this stage of the Song of Songs, as we conclude this collection of poetry, we get to a place that is kind of like the curtain call at the end of a theater production. You know, when at the end of the theater production, the different cast members come forward and they give a bow. And that's what's happening in these verses, starting with the verses we looked at last week and going through the verses we're looking at this week. You get the different characters from this story that we've been through over the last 10 weeks. They come forward and by a characteristic action or something they say, they kind of give their farewell to one tribe. And we saw that last week when the friends who we've been seeing, they kind of came forward and gave their bow, and it was like, they said, who's this coming from the desert leaning on her lover? And the lover replies to them, hey, don't forget, stay pure. Don't awaken love before it's time. And this week, next up saying their goodbye are the brothers of the beloved. They haven't featured much, but you may remember them from Song of Songs chapter 1 and verse 6. Where the beloved says that my mother's sons were angry with me, and they made me look after vineyards, but my own vineyard I have neglected. And they come up, and they come with a question, they come with a problem. They say in 8 verse 8, they say, we have a young sister, and her breasts are not yet grown, so she's still immature in many ways. What shall we do for our sister? For the day she is spoken for. What's going on here is they're saying we have a young sister and she's very young now, but there's going to come a day when boys come knocking. And if you have a daughter like I do, you are thinking about that day not infrequently. And I've been thinking about that day. My daughter is 7 years old. And I've been thinking about the day when boys are going to come knocking. What shall we do? It's a practical problem. And I've found amusement and encouragement and inspiration from one father who put together 10 simple rules for dating his daughter. And over the years, I have studied these rules and I have memorized some of these rules. And I thought that I would share them with you because they are of encouragement, I think, to those of us who are dads or future dads. In fact, mums as well, or single mums, or future mums who may have daughters. 10 simple rules for dating my daughter. Picture young boy arrives for his first date to pick up his date accompaniment and has a discussion with the father of his date-to-be. 10 simple rules for dating my daughter. Rule number one, if you pull into my driveway and beep, you'd better be delivering a package because you're certainly not picking anything up. Rule number two, you do not touch my daughter in front of me. You may glance at her as long as you do not peer at anything trousers so loosely they appear to be falling off their hips. Please don't take this as an insult, but you and all your friends are complete idiots. Still, I want to be fair and open-minded about this issue, so I propose this compromise. You may come to the door with your underwear showing and your trousers 10 sizes too big, and I will not object. However, in order to ensure that your clothes do not, in fact, come off during the course of your date with my daughter, I will take my electric nail gun and fasten your trousers securely in place to your waist. Rule number four. I'm sure you've been told that in today's world, sex without utilizing a barrier method of some kind can kill you. Let me elaborate. When it comes to sex, I am the barrier and I will kill you. Rule number five. In order for us to get to know each other, we should talk about sports, politics, and other issues of the day. Please do not do this. The only information I require from you is an indication of when you expect to have my daughter safely back at my house, and the only word I need to hear from you on the subject is early. Rule number six. I have no doubt that you are a popular fellow with many opportunities to date other girls. This is fine with me, as long as it is okay with my daughter. Otherwise, once you go out with my little girl, you will continue to date no one but her until she is finished with you. You make her cry, I will make you cry. Rule number seven. As you stand in my hallway, waiting for my daughter to appear, and more than 1 hour goes by, do not sigh or fidget. If you want it to be on time for the movie, you should not be dating. My daughter is putting on her makeup, a process that can take a very, very long time. Instead of just standing there, why don't you do something useful like changing the oil in my car? Rule number eight, probably my favorite rule. The following places are not appropriate for a date with my daughter. Places where there are beds, sofas, or anything softer than a wooden stool. Places where there are no parents, police, or nuns within eyesight. Places where there is darkness. Places where there is dancing, holding hands, or happiness. Places where the ambient temperature is warm enough to induce my daughter to wear shorts, crop tops, boob tubes, or anything other than dungarees, a sweater, and a Maasai blanket wrapped tightly around her. Movies with a strong romantic or sexual theme are to be avoided. Movies which feature chainsaws are okay. Soccer games are okay. Old people's homes are better. Rule number nine, do not lie to me. I may appear to be a pot-bellied, balding, middle-aged, dim-witted has-been. But on issues related to my daughter, I am the all-knowing, merciless god of your universe. If I ask you where you are going and with whom, you have one chance to tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I have a shotgun, a shovel, and 5 acres of empty space behind the house. Do not trifle with me. Finally, rule number 10. Be afraid. Be very afraid. It takes very little for me to mistake the sound of your car in the driveway for a bomber coming in low. The voices in my head frequently tell me to clean the guns as I wait for you to bring my daughter home. As soon as you pull into the driveway, you should exit the car with both hands in plain sight. Speak the perimeter password, announce in a clear voice that you brought my daughter home safely and early, then return to your car. There is no need to come inside. The camouflaged face at the window is mine. That is one way to prepare for the day when suitors will be coming. The brothers are as concerned as our father, who had these 10 simple rules for his daughter. They said, what are we going to do when young men come knocking? And their answer is very interesting. They said, well, what we're going to do, it depends. Onto the next slide, please, which shows the verse that we're studying. They said, it depends. Go back up one. And back again. Fantastic. They said, it depends. What are we going to do? Well, what we're going to do depends on whether she's a ward or a daughter. a protection thing. A door is something that you open and you let people inside. And they said to me, well, our sister is either a wall or she is a door. If she's a wall, she's the kind of person who boys come and they say, can I hold your hand? She says, no. They say, can I kiss you? She says, no. Can we do coffee? No. Can we do a meal? No. Can we? No, 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 no. Which brings great joy to a father's heart. And they say, if she is a wall, well, we're going to support her defense of what they're talking about here. It's her defense of her virginity. So we're going to support her in that. We're going to, but not only that, we're going to build towers of silver on her. Silver is kind of, we're going to reward her, we're going to celebrate her, but we're going to support her in her defense of her virginity. But she might be a door. A door is someone who, before love's time is right, lets one or more men in, and she fails to protect her virginity. They say, well, if she's a door, then we'll do what we can to protect her, but it's a lot harder. But we're committed to protecting our young sister. Her response is interesting. She says to her brothers, look, just to be clear, I was a wall. I am a wall. I have protected my virginity. But she says, look, whilst I am a wall, the react of, and by the way, this is not a kind of temporal, she's not married at this point in the story. They're kind of going back to her pre-marriage times. And she says, look, I am a wall, but at the same time, I've become a woman. And I do want to fall in love and get married and have children. And we shouldn't, but I don't want to keep on putting off this part of my life indefinitely. You can't hold it off much longer. So that's the first kind of major section we're looking at today. I want to talk a little bit practically about what it means, or how, if you are thinking, how can I be a wall? Young women and young men who are here today, single woman, single man, you're either going to be a wall or you're going to be a door. And the Bible's encouragement is, hey, by God's grace, ask Him to help you to be a wall, to keep yourself pure until it is time for love to be awakened. Some practical tips, I've got four or five tips for you. This is for anyone who is single, married, to listen to me because it's important for us to understand the principles that work. The first thing I'd say to people who are not yet married but would like to be married one day. How many of you is that? Put your hands up. Not yet married, would like to be married one day. Look at that. That is fantastic. Smart kid. Marriage is good. Awesome. How old is he? 2 years old. No brainer for me. Well, Khadija, you're going to have to break this down for him after the meeting. He needs to know this too. One thing I'd say is that it's important, it's helpful to pre-decide what your strategy is. What I mean is, if you wait until an emergency situation, she's with you in the car late at night, and her perfume is just smelling so good, then you start trying to figure out how, theoretically speaking, how far should one go? You're going to make a bad decision. But it's so important. Ladies, if you're watching him and he's walking around the school and he's wearing this tight t-shirt and his muscles are like this and he looks at you like, he doesn't look like no one else has looked at you before, and you then start asking yourself, theoretically speaking, should a Christian date a non-Christian? You're not going to make the best decision. So it's important before you're in a pressured situation. I can guarantee you the World Cup team, what they've done is they've spent time thinking about pressure situations. answer questions like what? What is dating? What is courtship? What is marriage? Who? Who am I happy to date? Who am I not happy to date? You've got to settle these big things in your heart. When? When will I start dating? When do I think would be an appropriate time to get married? Why? Why do I or don't I want a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Why do I or don't I want to get married? How far? We've discussed some of these things. What I'm saying is that it's important to decide beforehand. And then once you've decided, it's important to talk about it. Talk to godly people around you and say, hey, I'm not even in a relationship, but this is what I'm thinking about relationships. Get godly counsel. God says many advisors increase the chances of victory in different areas of our lives. And when you get into a relationship, at the beginning of the relationship, talk to each other and say, by the way, I've been thinking and praying about this from before we met. And this is what I feel in God I've decided about. How far do I need to go? What kind of person and why I date and how I date. Number three, keep the spiritual waters of your life high. What I mean is that if you want to be a wall, you need God's help. And God helps us as we keep the spiritual waters of our lives high. I'm talking about reading our Bibles. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about if you're a student, going on our students' camps. All those things. Getting to church on Sundays. Getting into a life group. It increases the level of the spiritual waters in our lives and keeps us safe in temptation. Notice I didn't say safe from temptation. There is a difference. And marriage, we also need to keep the spiritual waters of our lives high if we're going to be pure even in marriage. And number four, watch what you eat. What I mean by that, it's not gonitos and things. I'm talking about what you feed your mind, what you feed your heart. So if you're taking in romantic novels all the time and pornographic material, that's going to make it much, much harder to be a wall, to keep yourself pure. If you engage in godless talk, it's much harder to keep yourself pure. But I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, hey, but what if it's too late for me? What if I wish I was a wall, but because of decisions I've made, or maybe even because of things done to me in a rape or abuse situation, I'm no longer a virgin. And I was thinking about this and studying into this. And here's one thing I found very, very helpful. Let me put it to you as a question. If someone is, let's talk about people who've been raped or abused first. If someone is raped or abused, that is likely some of us here this morning. If you've been raped or abused, are you still a virgin in God's eyes? And the answer is, technically speaking and physically speaking, no. But spiritually before God, yes. Why is that? It's because in a rape or abuse situation, the blame rests squarely with the raper or with the abuser. That's got to be clear in our minds. Even if it's clear in our minds, it's understandable that if you've been raped or abused, you can still feel want you to picture the scene.